This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and five specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future. WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Sometimes it's important to challenge ourselves in life. It can be anything from challenging yourself to move more every day, or read that book that you bought from the bookstore months ago. For Chicago musician Carolina Schaff, it was writing a song every single day for a month, and it stuck. Schaff, whose musical project is called Hemlock, recently dropped their second release of the year, and it's called 444. You gotta love a good angel number. It features songs that they've written over the past 5 years as a part of that songwriting challenge, but reimagined. I noticed right away that on the new album, listeners are invited to this beautiful environment with this first track that we're hearing right now. It's called Day One. Now, this was the first song on Carolina's previous project called February, and this new version of the song features the sounds of birds, voices, and laughter. I had to let her know how much I loved it. Here's Carolina.
Yeah, well, that was the first. It felt right to start the 444 album with Day One because it was the first song of the very first song a day for a month saga.
That's naturally
an ongoing project, as you've mentioned. And the field recordings on it are the sounds of a red-winged blackbird that I heard, the first ever one that I ever actively noticed in Louisiana in 2019, as well as the sound of a field recording of another red-winged blackbird in Chicago last year. So there's like kind of that bridging of
this
gap of time. And yeah, and then our bandmate Andy, who's in the other room right now, moral support.
Listening and smiling away.
Yes, plays guitar on that track. And Yeah, it's just felt like the proper way to kick off an album. That's
yeah, and I made reference there to angel numbers, right? The album's called 444. For people who aren't familiar, in numerology, angel numbers are number sequences that contain repetition numbers. So 444-333-321-8787. How did you land, though, on 444?
So same as naming the project Hemlock, it was something that was presenting itself over and over again, kind of the idea of letting something choose you. Mm-hmm. And I think there was sort of a decision fatigue aspect as well of just being tired of naming things constantly, you know, naming songs, naming albums, naming projects. And four is the amount of members that we have in our band right now. 444 is a number that I do see pretty much daily in my environment, and it implies kind of divine
protection.
How that works.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stabilization.
Yes.
The number four.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then as well, 444 adds up to 12, which is the amount of songs on the album, but also the amount of months that make up what will be the completed Song a Day project, because the idea is to, after 12 years, have the entire calendar full.
Very good.
This allusion to that.
I love that. Why did you start the challenge? What inspired it?
I had listened to a podcast called Song Exploder, and they were interviewing Japanese Breakfast, who Michelle Zahner, she mentioned in that podcast episode that she had done a Song a Day project for a month after a friend had talked about it with her at a party.
I felt creatively stifled. So I started this sort of like lo-fi recording project called June, which was actually the first thing I ever made as Japanese Breakfast, where I wrote and recorded songs every day for the month of June. So at the end, there were like 30.
And I just remember being really struck as like a, you know, very fresh in the Hemlock project back in 2018 is when I listened to that. And I thought it would be a great way to kind of get myself to practice in a routine way with a set deadline, you know, of sitting down with a guitar every day and just seeing what happens.
That's quite disciplined of you.
Yeah, well, I'm typically not really in a lot of ways. So it was a boundary pusher for me.
Yeah.
I didn't go into it with this kind of larger idea of it being this 12-year project. I just wanted to do it for the 1 month, and it ended up feeling so cathartic and inspiring, and like it pushed me in all the right directions that I was trying to figure out a way to further incorporate that into a larger vision without having to just continue on song a day indefinitely, because that's simply too much.
Right? Well, did you go into it wanting to learn something?
I think I was curious about what direction my own songwriting would take and how much it would, it seemed like a creative way to incorporate practice, because I think I have a hard time with regimented kind of like, you know, read out, do the same scale exercises or, kind of a more square way of practicing. And this was a way that was very exploratory, where I was just giving myself, a deadline, but no other set real like check marks or guidelines around it.
Yeah.
It's more expansive.
I see.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
So to go from phone recordings to a fully recorded track with an amazing band. Wow, that is amazing. Let's listen to another song. This one's called Drive and Drive.
Maybe I'm just built to drive.
About your collaborative experience, as I mean, these are your songs and your vision, but you, of course, as you mentioned, you work with other musicians and recording artists. As a solo songwriter, though, how does that process work for you and feel for you?
Well, I mean, songwriting has always been a very solitary practice for me. But there's sort of always been various rotating collaborators in Hemlock, sort of from the nature of moving around relatively frequently. But when I came to Chicago in 2021, early 2021, there were these very special people who kind of appeared in my life and offered their skills and talents and friendship. And it was very much about just saying yes and following that intuition, I think, on both the giving and receiving end for the people who are now my bandmates. Bailey Menzenberger, who's been on your show before with
Rico. Absolutely, yes.
And Jack Henry and Red PK. And they are all incredible musicians, and the songs have just been allowed to grow and kind of spread their wings and fly with our, like, I'd say that they're my songs, but they're our vision, you know? So it's very much collaborative in spirit now, despite us being often far distances from each other, because the other bands that they're in are often very busy as well. And I've been on tour for a while, but it's very much a practice of following intuition with each other and following what we're each excited about, you know. So a lot of the songs that ended up on this album were things that one of the bandmates were excited about that they presented to me that I otherwise maybe wouldn't have chosen myself. So it feels very kind of
democratic. Sounds like a good collaboration.
Yeah.
It sounds like how that sort of thing should work. Right?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So can you give us an example of why songs like Deja Vu, Hazards, and Hundred-Headed Woman, why they felt right for 444?
I think some of them were just what we gravitated towards, again, intuitively. Drive and Drive, Hazards, Full are some of the like heavier songs on the album. Hemlock has kind of been categorized into the folk realm a lot in the past, and I think those were songs that allowed us to push the envelope of genre in a big way. And this is the first time Hemlock has consistently had percussion, and so having Jack playing drums allowed us to really, and like having such a strong rhythm section with Bailey and Jack, and then Andy playing these incredible lead parts allowed it to expand into new genre realms, like pushing into rock or, you know, kind of having more fuzz and, and heavier tones. And so we wanted to play with that as a band and then also stay in touch with kind of the gentler, more tender songs as well and show like the wide scope of what we are able to do as a band. And it's also more playful that way, you know, to not pigeonhole yourself into any one direction, to be able to just allow yourself to play. Like, I think music is inherently playful. And so, yeah, just following that feeling.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I read in a previous interview that you did, you said, you don't know if a song is ever finished. Mm-hmm. This is what you said, quote, there's a short-term finish where it feels good in the moment to walk away from. But then long-term speaking, I don't know that a song is ever finished because I just think it's malleable. Mm-hmm. It'll keep shifting. So are the shifts clear to you when you revisit these songs in the way that you have? Like, can you sense that you've evolved and changed as a musician in the reimagined versions?
Yeah, I feel like that's something that's easy to see often in retrospect, right? In the moment, you're not really like, viewing your transformation. Yeah. But hearing those songs now and then hearing the original phone recorded demos from the day that those songs were written, I mean, often they're night and day, you know? And when you're being influenced directly too by your collaborators, it's this shift that has like so much breadth to it. I mean, I think the same way that we grow as people, where we can stay the same at the core, but so much about us can shift and grow and evolve. I feel like songs have their own kind of sentience in life in that way. And so a recording being just a singular capture, a singular instance of that, it's just like this kind of, pinpoint of a specific moment in time and then come back 5 years later, it'll be something totally new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, here's another song off 444. This is Depot Dog. So this album and your voice, it feels part of an Americana lineage, right? Do you feel that way?
I feel that way. I feel loosely that way. I mean, I feel like there's often controversy around what is and isn't folk or what is and isn't Americana, but I do feel like that genre only gets more expansive with time, which I think is as it should, because folk and Americana is just like of the people, you know, it's music of the people by the people.
I'm thinking, you know, John Prine, Towns, Van Zandt, Lucinda Williams. Mm-hmm. So then what is it about the style that you think suits your expression and your intention in your style?
Well, I think music is like a tool of healing and of solidarity and of kind of like emotional vulnerability. And I think that there's an accessibility to what we are trying to do and how we are trying to convey emotions in a way that people are able to connect them to themselves first as a means of then connecting outward to their community and other people. And I feel like that's often at the heart of the folk practice as well. You mentioned Lucinda. She's like a home state hero. I'm from Louisiana. Her music is very influential.
You're the one, you're my shining star. You're the one I've been waiting for.
Yeah, Towns, John Prine, all of these people kind of are great at songwriting in a way that speaks to a very specific experience, but the kind of more hyper-specific you get, the more often that other people can find their way like into relating to that experience.
I am an old woman named after my mother. My old man is another child.
And so I think that that's something that, I mean, I strive for in our songwriting. And
love that.
All
right, I want to listen to another track. Here's Thank You Card to Band.
You wrap up my cables, you lend me your ears, you give me so much of your time for no money.
So the songs themselves, I read them to be described as existential. Mm. I mean, do you agree? Or what are you working through in terms of like the content, the lyrical content?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like on a surface level, they probably, I think at first impression, can often read as existential. But to me, I feel like at the core of Hemlock is hopefulness, you know, and like hope as a necessary thing that we need to move forward as a society and as individuals today. So I think, yeah, there's layers of existentialism there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, songwriting as a vehicle to navigate hardship and to navigate processing where the past meets the present meets the future is, and kind of the nonlinear way that love and grief present themselves within that is really, yeah, integral to Hemlock. And
interesting.
Yeah.
You know, the majority of the songs too, they fall between 1 and 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. You've got a couple that exceed 3 minutes, and we're looking at this very closely. you're looking at me like, wow, you caught that. A couple of them do exceed 3 minutes though, but most are under that. And I know that sometimes there's a challenge when you try to write a shorter song. Mm. How did you find that that worked out for you? The length of the tracks, did that suit the vision overall?
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of that I think specifically for Song A Day is out of necessity, right? Mm. I wasn't setting out to write short songs. We weren't setting out to arrange short songs. It just was, you know, sometimes less is more. And when you feel like the feeling of what you were trying to convey is captured, then you can just, you know, call it done for that moment and walk away from it. Kind of like, yeah, the snapshot, you know, a camera taking a singular photo and how that you can see a larger image when you zoom out. You can imagine like what was going on beyond that in the photo. I feel like the songs that are shorter often feel like that. If there's a lot of implied information that was not necessarily captured, but what is captured gives you a clear picture of what could be. And yeah, I think that there's something fun too, and just a playfulness to a shorter song as well. Or
that word keeps coming back. Mm-hmm. Playful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It means a lot to you, right? To just kind of sprinkle some joy.
Yeah. Throughout. Well, and it's interesting because I think a lot of times Hemlock is perceived as like sad music. And
that is in itself a genre.
Right. Yeah.
I can think of a couple people. Yeah.
And I think 444 departs from that. At least as a first impression, people have said that less about this body of work than a lot of the other albums that we've put out previously. But I think especially when you've got collaborators that are as like good natured and like loving and like funny and kind as as my bandmates are, as our band is, then we can really tap into that feeling of play.
You literally light up when you talk about them. Do you know that?
Well, I'm gonna like actually cry. They're sitting in the other room. I'm on the road a lot and I play solo most of the time, just as like a financial necessity and logistical necessity.
Yeah.
And this show that we have is one of the two shows this year where we get to play together as a full band. And so we've spent the past 3 days rehearsing and getting to reconnect on a personal level and a professional level. And it really is one of the most like fulfilling and special parts of my life. I feel, very in touch with that right now, too.
It sounds like a wonderful feeling, just all-encompassing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, songwriting is the most vulnerable practice in my life. And so then to take the things that come from that and share them with people who you trust to just realize the vision and reform it to where it is equally theirs as it is mine, you know, to where it's truly ours. It's just such a gift.
We've been speaking to Chicago musician Carolina Schaff about their new album, 444. It's available wherever you get your music. Thank you so much for coming in. What a wonderful conversation.
Thank you so much, Sasha. And I've been listening to Reset for, as long as I've been in Chicago. So
thank
it
you.
Means a lot.
We appreciate you. Now, they'll be performing today at Constellation on Western Avenue. The show is sold out, as I said earlier, but you can still grab your tickets for that online live stream. Let's go out on one last song. This is Full.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin. It was edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Ethan Schwab and Ari Mejia. Reset brings you a special episode every Saturday in addition to regular episodes on Chicago news and culture. To make sure you never miss a conversation, hit the subscribe button or check us out at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Thanks so much for listening.
My name is Donald. I live on the southeast side of Chicago. I support WBEZ because of the balanced reporting and covering so much about an issue as opposed to just the few seconds that you may hear on most other news outlets. It matters to me to hear the story more completely